Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 6th day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is History in the Making and live report from Washington, D.C. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumri Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody that calls in will be muted automatically at our end. And then if you wish to join us in a conversation, you would use star 6 on your phone. If you're on your computers, you would click the ask question button. I do have a co-host tonight. That's our friend Adam out in California. So both myself and Adam can bring you on to the call, and Adam will monitor the chat room for me, because to be honest with you, it's just too much to try to juggle everything and keep my mind on what train of thought I have, and also try to read what's going on in the chat. So many of the platforms, the citizen journalists out there with their platforms, do it that way. They have helpers, co-hosts, if you want to call it that. And so we do thank Adam for stepping up and making himself available for this duty. Also, for the folks that don't know it, Adam is hosting a nightly chat at 8 p.m., same time as this call we have on Wednesday nights. And it's a chance for folks to join in together for chit-chat, also reporting about what's going on. Typical Israelite type of things. Just picture all of us sitting around a campfire somewhere and sharing stories, anecdotes, farmers' wives' tales, you know what I'm saying. We chat about everything, like a family. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's light. After all, we were named, Jacob got his name because of children of laughter. Okay, so our race comes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we are the children of laughter. So we can find something humorous in almost anything going on. And that's because it's good medicine, all right? It eases the soul, so to speak, relieves pressure. And, you know, because sometimes we take ourselves and the things going on in this crazy world too seriously, and we forget that we were not given the fear of spear or confusion. We were not to give our enemies and certainly the Antichrist too much credit, as if they run everything, because they don't. Now, are they given the right to deceive us? Yeah, they are. They do have that right. Just read the book of Job, and you can find out about that. But they do not have the right to overcome us in the physical realm. Okay, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, did not give our enemies that right. Now, they want you to think they have that right. They want you to sit around and be fearful. But the truth of the matter is they don't have that right. So I'm waiting to see, and by the way, keep an eye out for John to call in. I believe he's going to be on a phone, so it'll be a phone number. And we want to bring him on as soon as he calls in from Washington, D.C. So keep an eye on the list of attendees for me there, if you would, Adam. So a lot going on today. I picked the title History in the Making because in 2009, when my family and I went to Washington, D.C. for the first Tea Party rally, I said to my brother, take note of what's going on here today because this is history in the making. Okay, it was the start of we the people letting our public servants know that how unhappy we were with them. So that was 11 years ago. Well, actually, about 10 years ago. And I see what's happening today as an extension of that. Now, there's been other big rallies, but not near the numbers of people, because we had a huge number of people in D.C. that day. And I haven't heard any figures on what the crowd was today, but the anger, the level of frustration and anger is much higher today than it was even back in 2009. So things got a little heated, but we don't know yet how much of this was Antifa dressed up as Trump supporters and patriots, because they do that. They come in dressed up as us, and then they perform these acts. So as Christ told us to judge people by their actions, you can judge the people that were in D.C. by their actions. True patriots that love this country are not going to commit atrocities or shed innocent blood, any of that kind of stuff. We don't do those things. So if there are people, even if they've got MAGA hats on or red, white, and blue or flags to show patriotism, if they're tear gassing people, if they're throwing manure or urine, if they're throwing bricks, or if they're trying to start a fight, well, then odds are they're not us. They're the Antifa infiltrators dressed as us. Remember, that's what a false flag is. Pretending to be something you're not so that you can instigate whatever it is to kick off your agenda. Okay, so don't think that what you see on that electronic toilet is 100% accurate, because it's typically not. Remember, all warfare is deception. That's out of the book The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Okay, all warfare is deception. So your enemy knows that, and certainly even good guys know that. So if they're feigning that they're weak, they're probably strong. If they're strong, and if they're weak, they're going to feign that they're strong. If they're ready to make a major move, they're going to want you to believe that they're sitting back, relaxed, and they're not going to do anything. Okay, so it's always deception. So we're sitting here trying to figure this thing out, and you've got deception being perpetrated all around us. So again, be very careful with any news reporting you get, unless you personally know who's there and you know that they have good discernment. Be careful of anything coming to you in electronic form. Okay? Put on your thinking caps, put on your prayer warrior caps, because we are literally in a period of time when this is history in the making. This could turn into 1776 2.0, revisited, so to speak, a second revolution. It could be the great shaking of the heavens and the earth that our Heavenly Father told us about, so that this great shaking is not only going to take effect here in the United States, but it's also going to take effect in every nation where the white man resides. And it may even take effect in non-white nations, because mankind is raising his consciousness to the evil that is inherent in centralized banking, centralized government, and centralized religion. They are all meant to manipulate mankind and to keep the rich and powerful at the top, probably 0.5%, no more than 1% at the top, to keep them in power with all kinds of money and materialistic things, while you and I remain as slaves on the plantation. Okay, and you can see that today, what's happening with this fake pandemic, more than you've ever been able to see it. So this is an insurgency, no doubt about it. It is a communist insurgency, and it's playing out. Now, a lot of people have been calling me all day, okay, what the hell's going on, Dan? Why didn't Pence do the right thing? Because we've said from day one that Pence was highly suspect. When he first picked Pence, a lot of people were going, what? And then when the Pizzagate information came out in WikiLeaks and all, Pence was one of the names on the lists of pedophiles, if you guys remember. So it doesn't really surprise me that these major players in Washington are showing their true colors as traitors to this republic. Again, Mike Adams and other pundits out there have said that if Trump does not play the major card that he's got, which is the Insurrection Act, if he does not invoke that, if he does not bring about, along with the military, or actually, I should say, if the military doesn't step in and Trump play his part, because I don't think Trump is actually the brains behind all this stuff anyway. I think it's a team of primarily military people. That's what I'm hoping anyway, because military intervention is the only thing that's going to solve this problem at this point. It's either a question of our actual active duty military working in conjunction with our sheriffs, our good sheriffs and the good militia, or it's going to be bad military headed up by communists who will use this chaos as a ruse to bring about martial law to suppress the patriots and bring about full-blown communism. So if Trump does not do the right thing, if the military does not intervene in the proper way that it should, it will fall upon we the people as the last line of defense to defend our homes, our counties, our communities, our property, our loved ones. It'll fall onto us, and we will have to fight. And people should start getting their heads wrapped around that, okay? Even if there are good guys in the military, in law enforcement, and in America who want to save the republic, they're going to need help. So one way or the other, our men are going to be at war with an enemy very soon. It's actually started already. Okay, now we hope that our Heavenly Father will intervene to where the remnant are not overcome by all of this. Now, the unbelievers, of course, this chaos and violence would be one way for them to be destroyed. And Scripture says that they're going to be destroyed anyway. So if we see unbelievers suffer under this thing, it's not fun, it's not nice, but we've been warning them for how long. So if people don't repent and come back to righteous behavior and moral living, if they don't do that, they're going to die anyway. If they're standing in a line to get this damn vaccine, look, how many times have we warned people about the dangers of the medical mafia? How many times have I told you what they've done to my family, my own family? Okay, and I'm not the only one. But just the people I personally know that have been hurt by these sons of bitches. Okay, and yet we got people running to doctors and hospitals still, as if they're somehow gods that are going to give you life and health back after you've blown everything as far as your diet and your body your whole life. You've lived as if you're going to live forever, and then all of a sudden things stop working, joints start falling apart, muscle mass departs, kidneys don't work like they used to, liver doesn't work like it used to, your brain doesn't work like it used to, you can't see, you're prone to all kinds of illness. Okay, well, those are all signs of a neglected body. And I know lots of people that live that way, and their idea was, well, I'm going to have a grand old time for about 60, 65 years, and then I'll just check out. They've actually told me that. Can you imagine that? My idea was to do what the Father told us, and that we should learn as if we're going to live forever. We should treat our body as if we're going to live forever. That's how we should think about it, because we don't know exactly when he's going to bring an end to your personal life or to this society or do the changeover in the twinkling of an eye. You don't know that. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take care of yourself. You're not supposed to be a burden to your family, your neighbors, or the community. That's selfish to think that, well, I'm just going to become this sickly older person and I'll let my children pay for it and I'll let my neighbors pay for it and the doctors will get rich and the hospitals will get rich and they won't do anything for me, but at least they'll make it look good and they'll give me enough painkillers that I won't feel anything. And they actually think that's a good way to check out. I never could understand it, but some people do believe that. On the other hand, I believe that we should take care of ourselves again so that we can enjoy a healthy life on this earth. And that also shows honor and respect to our Father who created us. It also shows respect for your neighbors and your family that you don't think it's your right to burden them with your health issues. That's how insurance companies got to be so rich. That's why the hospitals and doctors are so rich, and that's why the Jews took them over. They saw the potential for making money. And then with their buddies in government, they started making rules and laws to enrich themselves even further. And that's part of what all is going on right now. This rebellion that's going on amongst we the people, it's not just because of an election fraud issue. It's because our society is completely upside down, and we have not had any advocate within government, not one, on any issue, whether it's abortion or infanticide, the homosexual community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hold on a minute, folks. Okay, sorry about that, but that was John calling in, and apparently we got a... he said he was dialing the wrong number, and I just checked, and I did make a mistake when I sent him the number, so that's my mistake. Okay. But anyway, John will be calling in here very, very shortly. So, once again, all this stuff is going on basically because we've become a completely immoral society. And we need to repent of all that. Okay, so this is just the final straw, what's happening on in Washington, D.C. because of the election and everything else. It actually is much bigger than that. And this is just the tipping point. This is just the final straw on a camel's back. Let me see if this is our friend John. Come on, software. Cooperate. Come on.
Hello.
Hi, hello. John. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Oh, very good. Very good. I was just kind of filling folks in with a little bit here while we were waiting for you to call in.
Yeah, I had one digit off, and no matter what happens, if you call it wrong, if we got the old numbers, it doesn't work. So.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my mistake because my key, the little keyboard on my phone is made for somebody about one-third my size and fingers one-third my size. So
yeah, yeah. Been there, done that, yeah. What a day, Dan. It was something.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting to hear. I've been getting phone calls all day with people really upset about what's going on and wanting to hear what's going on. And so I told a lot of the folks, I said, well, why don't you tune in tonight and listen? I said, we got somebody we actually know that's in Washington, D.C., and he can tell us what he saw.
Well, we got down there about 6:30 this morning, drove all night long, and walked in. It was like a big party. I mean, obviously a whole bunch of Trump people in there, and everybody was, you know, 4 more years, and pretty jovial. President Trump talked about noon. I guess we went to a few different monuments, memorials, stuff like that, and some other people were talking, but really couldn't hear a whole lot. But then they introduced President Trump, and he was speaking at the Capitol on the lawn in front of the Lincoln or Washington Monument. And then, you know, he said he was going to be going down to the Capitol and what was going on down there. And so he's just, you know, we all went down there. I mean, it was, I don't know how many people were there. There was in hundreds of thousands, I'm sure. It's kind of hard to see because it's a pretty big complex and it spread right out. But a lot of people started walking down to the Capitol building, and evidently what they wanted to do was rather typical. You know, they had some barriers set up, barricades, like that. We were supposed to protest about a quarter mile from the Capitol building, but it was thousands and thousands of people, and they walked over the fences and walked around the barricades, and we walked right up and swarming up in there to about lower Capitol steps. There's some younger guys that crawled up on some scaffolding up in there, and it was howling and screaming, and more people came into the wall. You walk up a lawn, and then there's a rock wall about 3 feet high. My brother was there, and he jumped up on top of the wall, and he started filming with his phone, and I jumped over top of the wall, and there's probably 200-400 people up in there. All were screaming. We were saying, you know, stop the steal, and USA, USA. But, I mean, there was no violence at all. It was none whatsoever. And all of a sudden, all of the Capitol Police up there, they fired flashbang grenades in there right in front of people, you know, and then they started shooting the pepper balls and tear gas. And I'm not just talking a couple of them. I'm talking, you know, dozens of tear gas canisters and stuff. I got gassed about four times, I think, in that thing, and some of the CS gas, and this stuff affects your breathing, other textures burns, that kind of face, your eyes and stuff. But people kept on coming. I mean, whenever they did that, people just came rolling out, you know, with the tear gas stuff in their eyes and trying to wash it all out. But for every person that fell out, three more jumped in. It's really, really impressive, Dan, I mean, as far as that goes. Really impressive. And I'm not talking just young guys. I mean, it was older men. I'm 68, but, I mean, there's older guys my age and a little younger, and women, young women, older women. I mean, everybody, blacks, whites. It was thrilling. It was thrilling. It was encouraging. It kept on going, and we literally overwhelmed them. They went into the building, and they took over the steps and pushed the guards out. I mean, they literally, physically, the guards were trying to hold them back, and they just pushed them out of the way and went up on the steps. And it was unbelievable. But there was a guy out about 10 feet to my right. When we were there, and all of a sudden we sent some man down, and he had a heart attack. He died right there. And evidently a couple other people got killed inside. I was talking to one of the guys just a few minutes ago at a rest area, and he said it was a young lady, maybe 16 to 19 years old, whatever like that, that she supposedly got inside the building, and a guard just from point blank range shot her and killed her. So, I mean, I'm sure she's unarmed, and I didn't see any weapons at all, and no bats, no knives, no guns, no nothing, okay? But it was totally, totally disgusting. I mean, there was absolutely no reason for them to treat those thousands of people like that. There's none whatsoever. We weren't doing anything except exercising the rights to protest, and there was no physical violence. The physical violence was all on their part, so... That's kind of the crux of everything. I do know that when we walked out, we had to walk a couple miles back to our truck. We got turned around. We were in a bad section of D.C., it turned out. But, I mean, the vitriol, the hate, the absolute hate from a lot of the people on there was incredible. I mean, there's no middle ground, Dan. There is no middle ground. Like one guy says, you know, you're on the wrong street. I said, what do you mean? I'm trying to find whether it was 16th Street or 14th Street. He says, well, he says, no, you go the other way down there. He says, go down about three blocks and holler MAGA as hard as you can, as loud as you can. You can find out what happens on the thing, you know. There's no exit. It was It was unbelievable. I guess that's the best way I can describe it. It was encouraging. It was historic, Dan. It was absolutely historic. The people of this country had enough. They had enough. They didn't take it anymore. I'm not sure how it's going to end. I'm not sure how it's going to end, but we've had enough.
Well, that was the sentiment in 2009 when I and my family were there. We felt it was historic. We felt a very strong spiritual connection with just about everybody there. Again, I never heard one curse word. I didn't see one act of violence. I didn't see anybody acting rudely to anybody else. We did yell quite a bit towards the White House to let the public servants know how just upset we were. But other than that, between the people out in the streets and in the park, everything was very cordial. There were a lot of hymns being sung, patriotic songs. There were little stands put up, and there was some street preaching going on. There were some political speeches made. But everybody behaved themselves, even to the point where there was no trash out of place. I mean, so everything stayed nice and clean everywhere you walked. There was no stench of feces or urine, even though they didn't have near enough porta potties. Everybody used them properly. There was no spillage. There was no stupidity and antics. So it was empowering to be around like-minded people. I pictured the Israelites back in biblical times when they were on the march or they did things as a group. I pictured right. that. Even though you don't know everybody, you felt like you were amongst family. I can't tell you. I had my Air Force hat on. And back in 2009, there was still quite a bit of anti-U.S. military sentiment. So I was shocked when I had all kinds of people shaking my hand and thanking me for my service and for being in the service, because it was just the opposite of the 1970s with Vietnam, when you Right. pretty much got spit at, you were called baby killers, you were called all kinds of things. But, you know, and I do know now that I'm older and have done some investigating, our military is used for things that they should not be used for. So with that needs to be fixed. However, to hold the young men and women accountable when they don't have any say in what decisions are made at the Pentagon or in the White House. So, right. you know, that's where people's anger and angst should be directed towards the culprits in the decision-making circles. And there's way too many Zionist Jews that are part of that circle. So our young men and women are being put in harm's way to further Zionist interests, and that's got to be another thing that needs to stop here real soon. So, but you know, did that policeman that shot that lady, was he apprehended?
I have no idea. I mean, that was one of the other guys that was there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I probably saw him because I mean he was right up there among he's got guests too, but. I couldn't swear to it. There was hundreds of thousands of people there. Okay. But, that's what he was just saying that the girl died and she was just, like maybe 16 to 19. And that was, he said, unarmed as far as he knew she was unarmed and the cops shot her point blank range and killed her, you know? So, and then supposedly somebody else got killed there. I don't know exactly how it all happened. What was going on? I mean, I was not a part of that. I didn't see any of that stuff. I was outside though, but I was right up within 10, 12 feet of the line where all of the gas and the flashbang grenades and all the stuff was coming in there. It was something. But Dan, I tell you, what was really encouraging was these younger guys. There was a steel tower up there they crawled up on, and they were, you know, everyone was waving, you know, we need help, we need help, we need help, get more people in here. And Dan, they poured in. I mean, young, old, overweight, skinny. I mean, young, old men, women. They were coming over the wall. They were coming over the wall. I mean, they were helping them get down and whatever like that. But they weren't hesitating. They were pouring over the top of that wall, and we just overwhelmed them. It was gratifying.
Wow.
It was gratifying. They were madder than hell. They were like a beer in a bonnet. I'm telling you.
Now, what, you know, I got to say, it's I've been waiting a long time for this. A lot of the Patriots with their channels today were saying that for the first time in a long time, they felt proud to be an American because real Americans were in D.C. and they were being active. Instead of always backing up, we've been backing up for decades, constantly right. backing up and putting a new line in the sand, never taking a stand. And today, for the first time, I think people saw that just maybe, especially the white man, has finally woke up to the fact that these damn communists who hate white people, hate Christ, hate our founding fathers, hate our Constitution, resent everything about us, even though they're sucking on the hind tit of the at the public trough for half or more of the goodies in their home and what they're riding in, mm-hmm. At the same time, they do everything they can to bring down this society and the works of the white man that built it, that they're getting all these benefits from. You know, that shows you their gratitude. I heard that I'm gonna say what he really is. That guy in Georgia is a nigger, okay? That guy is okay. Not an American. But that guy in Georgia made a statement that if God is white, then God needs to be killed. If God is a white man, then God needs to be killed, meaning that white people need to be killed, and if our God is white, then he needs to get killed too. And that was supposedly on the Glenn Beck show. So that's the reference. If people say, well, what's the reference? Well, I'll go to the Glenn Beck show. It was sent to me by a friend of mine over in Tampa. So if this is the attitude that people like AOC, Barbara Boxer, Feinstein, Pelosi, Schumer, they're all anti-American. They're all Zionist pig dog Jew communists. When in the hell are people going to wake up? I mean, you know, Sun Tzu said you can't win a war if you don't know who your enemy is. Okay, so if you want to be guaranteed success in a battle, you have to know yourself and your enemy, and then you can't fail. If you know both, you can't fail. Our problem is we've allowed the Jew media and the Jew control of our institutions to push the lie that they're God's chosen people and that they're somehow our allies when the greatest enemies of the United States are Zionist Marxist Jews. And it always has been that way. Would you agree?
Right. Oh, yeah. And you're right. You're absolutely right. With that said, they lit a powder keg tonight. They lit a powder keg, okay? Mm-hmm. This son of a bitch is going to blow. It's going to blow. You watch.
I can't disagree with you, buddy. I can't disagree. I see, and here's the thing. When our Heavenly Father does something, it's not always a direct thing. Like, a lot of people are pointing strictly at D.C., but what they don't know is in the last 48 hours, I've had a lot of things happening that don't have anything to do with Washington, D.C. They've got to do with little projects that we've been talking about. They got to do with, like, my family, close friends of mine. People are saying and doing things that I've never seen them do before. So the timing of all this stuff tells me that we're right at a turning point. Absolutely, for sure. And that's why I go along with you. I think you're right. I think a fuse has been lit. And if this isn't 1776 2.0, it's going to be something awful close to it.
You know, it was really interesting when we were up there. I mean, this was after the flashbang grenades was on there and a bunch of people had been gassed. I mean, they'd been gassed pretty good, okay? And the people on the front lines, they came back, you know, and there was, for every one that came back, three of them jumped in. They weren't running away. They were running into it, okay? They were running into it, but there was a young man and his girlfriend. I'm assuming that's what their girlfriend and him. But he was standing right next to me, and I looked at him. I says, "How old are you?" And he says, "25." And I says, "Congratulations! You are seeing history today. You are seeing history. You're part of history. We are part of history. I had never seen nothing like this." And then the guy was standing next in front of him, and he says, "I'm 65." That's what this guy said. And he says, "I ain't never seen it either." I said, "Well, I'm 68, and I've been dreaming about this for a long time, okay? And it's time, and I have been so irritated and ticked off for so long. And you know, it was nice to see something like this taking place. It really was. It was sad. It was sad to see the complicity of the guards and stuff like that doing what they were told to do. Okay, mm-hmm. And firing at us and stuff like that. But you know, a bunch of unarmed people, just overwhelming a bunch of congressional cops. It was. I mean, there was. What do you do? It's like attacking a man with no arms and no legs, and he beats you with his head, okay? I mean, that's basically what's happening tonight.
I got a question for you. As you were describing that, just like when Lavoie Finicum, the rancher out in the West, I think it was mm-hmm. Utah, I can't remember for sure, but out in the West, the rancher and grandfather, Lavoie Finicum, was shot and killed by the Oregon State Police.
Right.
I have a theory that the two Oregon State policemen that shot him and murdered him, I don't think they were actual Oregon State Police. I think they were Mossad dressed up as Oregon State Police. And I wonder if that isn't going on in D.C. today, that some of the, not all of them maybe, but they have put Mossad, who don't mind killing anybody, in amongst our people to do the very things that they're doing to turn us against our law enforcement and our military. What do you think?
It's possible. I saw that video with Leroy, you know, the two concurrent videos, one from inside the car and one from the helicopter up above, where they synced them together, and you see it all there. And mm-hmm. It was obviously they murdered Lavoie. Okay. They murdered him. They just murdered him.
Right,
and from the sound of it, they murdered that young girl today too. Okay, I don't have the information for that. I don't have the information for
right.
that.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I'm just asking your opinion. It's your opinion only. Yeah.
Well, you know, the answer to that is yes and no. I remember when you were in high school, 20, 30, 50, 60. For me, it's over 50 years now, but. The ones when you went to your reunions, the kids that were always picked on always seemed that they were the cops, okay? You know, so they got picked on in school and they were the cops. Now, there's some of them that were high-ranking police and stuff like that, and they were the smart ones, but I mean, it seems to me that the ones that were always picked on were the ones that ended up being the cops. I served some time down in prison 20 years ago, and it seems that the wardens, the hacks, as we called them at that time, the guards, the really crummy ones, were always the same ones. You could tell they were picked on in high school, and that was their way of getting back at that. Okay, so could it be Mossad at that level? Yes, it could be. Okay, you know, could have been just some young man from 20 years ago that had a bone to pick, and that was a chance to get even. Very possibly so. I don't know. Why shoot an unarmed 16 or 18 or 20-year-old girl? Okay, why? Right.
Yeah, exactly. There is no excuse for that. I'll tell you what it does demand, and that is that person be arrested and charged with murder. I don't believe that a uniform is a proper defense to hide behind for the commission of murder.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, and the thing about it was after they were overwhelmed, literally there was like probably 25 cops out there. And I mean, they were on the steps probably 25 feet above us and 50 feet away or something like that. You know, I mean, when they started throwing the flashbang grenades, some people throw water bottles and stuff at them, right back at them, okay? So, mm-hmm. I mean, they were close enough where you hit them with a water bottle, they put their shields up and stuff like that. But, the people are just coming up all over the place, just overwhelmed them, and they slowly backed away and went to one side, and then they filed back into the building, and thousands and thousands of people swarmed all over the thing, and then they came back out, and probably three times, four times as many of them. They formed a wall, but I mean, there was men, there was women, big guys, small guys, you know, and they were sitting there with their gas masks and their big goggles. On their helmet on and with their batons stretched across their arm, you know, and I'm going, I walked up and said, what the hell is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? You know, and don't you realize that we're fighting your fight? We're fighting your enemy, and you guys are shooting at us and killing us?
Right.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, they better understand that they have to make a choice here soon too.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, it was most of this, from what I can see, most of the guys that were in the original 25 or so that were shooting, throwing the grenades and shooting the pepper balls. So yeah, they were pretty much all white, and there was a guy in a white shirt with a tie that was there. Obviously, he was their commander, and he's a black guy. Okay. But I mean, sitting right next to me, I mean, standing right next to me in the crowd was another black man. Okay. I mean, it was not a black and white thing. I was just disgusted by the whole thing. Other thing that was really interesting, Dan, was, a lot of Chinese and the Vietnamese, Cambodians, were there, especially at the where we literally crashed the house, a lot of Chinese there, but I mean, it was really interesting. In their English, they had a little piece of paper on their back or on the front, you know, says, "I'm proud to die for the USA." Okay. That's, mm-hmm. that's what they were saying. And I'm going, wow. I said, "Hell, you know, we don't want you to die. Just kill the SOBs that are taking, you know, doing us all in." Okay.
Right.
If we reestablished our common law courts, got our common law grand juries, investigated and indicted a bunch of these bastards, excuse my French, tried them, convicted them, and just shot them for treason. You only have to go 300, 400, 500 of them like that, and the rest of them has unbelievable coming to Jesus moment. Okay, I'm just telling you, they're a bunch of gutless bastards. They would run like little girls. And I say that knowing that I was just seeing a bunch of young girls charging in with the men out there today. It was. Wow, it was powerful.
Well, that's the next step. Today was a act of defiance and showing the frustration level Americans who are very patient. In fact, they have the patience of a saint. They probably have too much patience.
Patience is stupidity, you're right.
Right. We've been backing up for far too long. So today was the first sign that there's still some fight left in us, and I say hallelujah. The next thing, though, now that we've established that the government is completely useless, okay, there is nothing in Washington, D.C. and our state governments that's going to work for us. And so the people need to wake up to that. And we need to hold state and federal government public servants accountable. And if they're not going to do their damn job, then at the county level, you're exactly right. And I just ordered that book, Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, which I think everybody should study it. It's a small book. They should study that, just like every sheriff and every constable should be reading Anderson's book on sheriffs so that they know their common law duties. And we need now, if our people are finally waking up and they understand just how late we are in this game and how serious the threat to our republic is, then by God, it's time to give up on both of the parties, because the Republican and the Democrat Party are completely useless. The government we have today is useless. Our bureaucrats are useless. Many of our sheriffs are useless. Our police departments are useless. And some of the military are completely useless to the people. So we got to go to what do we have left? That's the lesser magistrates. That's us. We the people, where all power is inherent, and we can work with the good sheriffs and the militia, get a citizens' council, grand jury together, and either we have military tribunals if we have good military, and if we don't have those, then we do, like you said, we get our citizens' grand juries together, and the posse goes out with the sheriff and the militia, and we start bringing these sons of bitches in and hold them accountable for their acts of murder and treason. Yeah, I'm ready for that.
You're absolutely right. It was, you know, the National Liberty Alliance in L.A., they've got their program, and they've made some really good points. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of their stuff or studied any of their courses or whatever, but, you know, they've got all 3,300 and eight, I believe, there's counties in the United States organized, and their objective is to get at least five people in each one of those counties actively working as a committee man who is the person that selects people that run for office, make sure that they have the capabilities of doing that. Right now it's done by committees from the Democratic and the Republican parties, and there's kingmakers up there, and that's what we have to do. But we have to take control of that. That was taken away from us about 90 years ago, early 1915 or 1920, something like that. Unless we have that many people that can step in, even if we indict all these SOBs and try them and kill them for treason, unless we have something to replace them with, it's going to be the same thing. We have to educate and teach the people what their objective is, because it certainly hasn't been done for the last 30 years, 50 years. And we can't do something like that and create a vacuum. I think we have to fill the vacuum, or it's going to fill with the same people that had in there before. So I would say, if people are not familiar with the National Liberty Alliance, the NLA, just type it in and go to their homepage and sign up on the thing. I encourage that. They're really working hard to establish the common law court systems. As far as sheriffs go, I know just the county north of me, in Berry County, Michigan, Darrell Leaf is a sheriff, a heck of a man, a heck of a Christian, very good man. He's fearless. He's fearless. He was sheriff of the year a couple of years ago, whatever like that. But we need more men like him. We need people to stand up and back him up. Because right now, if he does something, the same people that are just did to us today and the local level are going to do the same thing to him. The media's attacking him and everything like that, twisting everything he says, And the point is, on something like that, if he does something, stands up for the Constitution, they're bad-mouthed. I says, yeah, damn right, that's what he did. That's what he's supposed to do, okay? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Get right out of my face.
Yep. I know Sheriff Darleaf, and he is one of the strong constitutional sheriffs in Michigan, just as Sheriff Grady Judd in Florida is another very, very strong constitutional sheriff. And there's others, of course, but those are two that I know. So, what our people have to understand is we're suffering from a moral dilemma, because even George Washington said it, that the Constitution was written with the idea that the white people who founded this country were moral people. They lived under an accepted moral code. Now, they didn't agree on every little minutia of biblical law, but they all came to an agreement that there were certain portions, like murder is wrong, of course, kidnapping, rape, treason, things like that. So there were a lot of things we did agree on in common, and these were biblical principles, and we lived according to a moral code that said that we are to be responsible and self-governing people. And that was...
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, and that was the way it started, and we have digressed from that. We are a very immoral country now. We're divided. We still have half the country that wants to live a moral life and believe in the God of the Bible, and we got the other half that are pagan, Marxists, nihilists, atheists, perverts, you name it. We got the whole gamut on the other side of this, and they can't live in the same territory together.
I was talking to my brother about that before, and he said the same thing after going down there, literally. And we were walking down the street, and we had our Trump hats on, and I was carrying a Trump sign, and this guy in the second story would look out the window, and he says, "You effers lost. Get the hell out of here. Get the F out of here." My brother was start arguing with me. Come on down. We'll say that. I says, "It's not worth it ever." But there's just an absolute vitriol, just venom, just a venomous, just a bitterness. There is no common ground. There is none. There is none. We have to separate. We have to separate and let them go their way, and we'll go our way, and they'll starve to death. Dad, they'll starve to death, and I would have no regret, no remorse watching them starve. Not at all.
Well, I certainly am not going to send him any food. That was one of the things that we talked about, because my military friends had called and said, well, what do you think's going on? And do we have any more cards to play? I said, we got a lot of cards to play. Trump hasn't even played the best cards. To me, what they're going through is the motions to show everybody just how ate up and corrupt this system is. Okay, well, we've established that. Now let's start fixing things. Let's start playing the cards that are constitutional and logical, which is the Insurrection Act, and go round up these sons of bitches who have openly stated things that make them guilty of treason. Here's what a lot of people don't understand. If you make a statement, especially if you make a statement in a open court, and it's on the record, if you make a statement of treason or admission of treason, you don't need a trial, even in the civil courts, let alone the military ones, in a civil court. That's called a confession of treason. You don't need a jury to hear it. You don't need anything. They can just take you outside and execute you.
If we only do that, people have the cojones to go out there and grab a drag out there and do it.
That's what has to happen next. That's right. Yeah. They need to know there's a cost for committing treason against us.
Right. Well, I agree with you. I mean, here's the thing that really drives me crazy and stuff like that. Who is going to be the first one to go out there and drag them out there and do what we're supposed to do? Okay? Because right now, if you do something like that, the next thing you know, they'd be shooting you, okay?
Well, that's where we, just like you saw people jumping in there to go over that wall, the people have to jump in there to support the constitutional sheriffs and the militia that are doing the right thing. So that when we take a communist out and hang him in a tree, if somebody wants to reprise against that, then there has to be a show of force that says, no, you're not going to touch them. Just like they try to prevent us from going after these murderous cops and military guys.
If we
catch them, they're going to hang. If we catch them, they're going to hang. That's it. They're trying to protect them behind a wall of blue and a wall of gray or whatever, a wall of brown for the sheriff's. But okay, you're going to play that game. You're going to commit murder. You're going to kidnap or commit murder against we the people. When you guys come into our territory and we catch you, you better understand we're going to put you on trial. And if you're found guilty, we're going to execute you. This is warfare.
The worst thing about being in war is that most people don't realize we're at war, but now they do.
But people are waking up. They're waking up, and I can testify to that. I can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten in the last 48 hours. I'm talking about family, friends, people I've been talking to for 30, 40 years, all of them saying the same thing is, my God, all that stuff you've been telling us is true. Mm-hmm. You see, they just wrote it off that I was some kind of a nut job, you know, it can't be that bad. You're just paranoid, Dan. They're now realizing it's not only as bad as I told them for the past 40 years, it's worse.
Much worse, much worse, yeah. You know, what's interesting is if you say that, the normal reaction of any media or whatever like that, you're just a conspiratorial theorist. I said, no, listen, things either happen because they're planned or they happen by total randomness, right? I mean, it's one of those two. So if you think in that terms, I think it was Abraham Lincoln said one time, you know, if you had a whole bunch of people showed up the same spot, same place, with some with axes and some with adzes and some with logs, stuff like that, and they put together a log cabin, the one thing you can pretty much rest assured is it was planned that way, okay? You know, and some of the complicated things that's going on, something like that are going on right now, they're planned. And if they're planned and they're evil and they're to my detriment and most other people's detriment and somebody else's benefit, it's a conspiracy. I don't give a damn what you say, call it.
Right.
You know, and if it was totally random acts, every once in a while, it would be in our favor, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it never is.
Right. No, it's never. Our side never seems to have anything go for us. We don't ever see any of these assholes getting killed by a random act of a good guy. It's always fake. It's a staged event or whatever. So it's time they start paying a price for their first of all their antichrist and mocking of the living God, which that's reason for execution right there. But they're also committing treason or committing acts of pedophilia and all this other stuff that's just grotesque and needs to be avenged, okay? Innocent blood must be avenged. That's a biblical concept. Your land is cursed until you avenge innocent blood. Well, today, a young lady in that building was murdered. Every piece of evidence we've gotten so far says she was murdered by one of those assholes in a uniform. That son of a bitch better be turned over for execution. As soon as he's found guilty of murder, he should be drug out and publicly executed so every citizen and every cop and every soldier knows that uniform doesn't protect you from God's law. I don't know who's telling you assholes that you can come out there and do it, but nope, it does not protect you, so sorry. You're going to pay a price. We got a question here for you, John.
Sure.
Two of the guys listening were wondering. They want your opinion that on the patriots who swarmed the Capitol building and Pelosi's office. Do you believe that they were legit patriots or was it staged?
I don't know who got in the Pelosi's office, but I can tell you this. The people that were coming over that wall and charging forward, those were patriots, okay? They were madder than hell, okay? And they were scrambling. They were charging into danger. They were charging into danger, Dan.
Okay.
Charging. There's no hesitation.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was really interesting. I know that they had some barriers up there, some big steel barriers. I was watching, and this one guy, he was probably 25, whatever, like that. Kid, probably 6'7", about 300 pounds, built like a tank. And he was in there, and he come out there, and he's carrying one of those big barriers and threw it over the fence and went up, got another one, threw it back over the fence, was hauling things out of the way, and then people took those barriers and used them for ladders. They were crawling up over top, and I was helping people down off of that thing, you know what I mean? So, they were patriots. They were patriots. I don't know about the guys that swarmed inside, but I know my brother, he was on top of the wall. He's taking a whole bunch of videos. We could probably get copies of that stuff if you wanted. We could get that stuff over to you. The people were scrambling, kind of crawling up. There was a stairs, and they were crawling up the outside railing of the stairway. You had to push up about 6-8 feet in the air, and people were pushing these people up. They were getting up there. Well, somebody opened up a door down below, and evidently a lot of people went through that. My brother went through that door, and he went all the way up the top of the Capitol steps. He was all the way up. He was taking videos and stuff. So he could get a pretty good view of how many people were out there also. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the videos yet, obviously, but obviously a bunch of people got inside the building from that, and they were in the gallery. They were all over the place inside there, and evidently, from what I understand, they cleared the House of Representatives out of that thing. I suppose if the people that went in there were the people that came over the wall, they were patriots. They're a bunch of angry bees, okay? They were a bunch of pissed off patriots.
Well, this is a sign of, to me, this is a sign that the good people have reached a point of righteous indignation, just like Christ did with the money changers in the temple. You know, we've been taking shit from these people for a long, long time. And it was something I was hoping I would see before it was my time to leave this world, that people would finally stand up and say, enough of this crap, because evil prevails because good men don't act. They don't get involved. And we're way past the time when righteous men, good men with good intentions and righteous attitudes, should have been involved for a long time. We've had way too many innocent people suffer under these sons of bitches. I want to see them hang. I want to see them in front of firing squads.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was as we were walking from the Washington Monument over to the Capitol building, thousands of people. We were walking down the sidewalk, and there was a guy that's holding up a picture. It broke my heart. It absolutely broke my heart, Dan, of a newborn baby, and underneath that was a newborn aborted baby, you know, where they take the forceps and they rip the head of the thing off and crush it, and then they pull it out. is born dead like that. And my brother asks, can I take a picture of that? And the guy said, well, yeah, you know, I mean, it broke my heart. It broke my heart, Dad.
Yeah.
And I later saw this, the same guy, he went over the wall. He got gas too, okay?
Unbelievable.
But I'm just saying, that's at that point in time, that's not fake. It's not fake. It wasn't fake. And what I saw the day was not fake. It was a whole bunch of angry people. And angry people of all ages, both sexes, all races, they were mad. They were mad or hell. They had enough.
Well, we should be. I mean, look at the lunacy of this COVID-iacy, this COVID fake nonsensical pandemic, when we abort. More innocent lives die every year from infanticide than almost every other form of mortality that you can, if you put them all together, it doesn't equal the number of lives taken by the abortion industry.
Yeah, you're right.
These hypocrites want to lock us down and put us in this dystopian nightmare, 1984 style, for something that's no more serious than a flu, at the same time completely ignoring the murdering of these children and the people that are dying from suicide and domestic violence and everything else because of the tremendous stress that everybody's put over. The hypocrisy is enough to make you vomit.
Yeah, the other thing about that, I've said that before, is all lives matter. Evidently, all children's babies' lives don't matter, and also if they were really serious about the all lives matter, they would have dropped the speed limit on highways on 25 miles an hour, because think how many lives that would save, okay? And if they all of them count, they would have done that. The other interesting thing was, and I actually didn't just think about all that, but we were talking about it, the masks. That was one thing that you didn't see very much of at all down there. I bet you 90% of the people didn't have masks on. I mean,
wow.
That's encouraging. I'm serious. We were packed in like sardines, and I didn't almost no mask. Okay, well, I say that, and then we got up there, we were tear gassed, and somebody pulled their mask and their stuff back on, and I stuck my nose underneath my hoodie so I could try to get some, you know, not suck the stuff in. It burns like crazy, but it was encouraging.
Yeah,
flat out to hell with them.
Exactly, I've been encouraged in quite a few places I've been here recently where people are just ignoring all this bullshit. I'll tell you, our public servants are out of control. They're just there's no denying it. They are completely out of control and completely compromised by the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world and the rest of the Mossad assholes that get blackmail material on our people. And if that doesn't work, they use bribery. And if that doesn't work, they use character assassination. And if that doesn't work, they just simply murder you. So, I mean, we've got a bunch of people running around this country that need to be hunted down and executed.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's interesting. You talk about also the mask and stuff like that. And I explain to them. I says, look, you know, your body, it gets rid of waste, okay? You have your feces, urine, the carbon dioxide you're breathing out, the sweat comes out of your body. It takes toxins and stuff out with it, okay? You know, and all this stuff is a useful product, but it's not for humans, okay? The carbon dioxide that we breathe out, it goes to plants, and those plants use that and recycle it, and they make it into, they grow things with it, they grow with it, and it becomes oxygen again, okay? Clean, pure oxygen. Mm-hmm. You know, your feces, your urine, stuff like that, you don't eat that. You recycle it. It goes through the ground, and it comes back up as vegetables and grass and stuff like that that you can eat or cows eat. How stupid are we? How stupid are we? They think we are, that you want to eat your own waste or breathe your own waste. Think about that.
That's the problem. If you think about it, you would come to that conclusion. The sad statement for today is the dirty diapers on everybody's face shows you that a lot of people are not thinking today. They're not thinking, and they have no balls. I call a dirty diaper as a flag that indicates no brains and no balls.
Well, Yeah, I think the last is the bigger one. The thing, one of the guys that went down there with us, that's, he was coming. He works in a shop. They got 30 people in there. He's the only one that doesn't wear a mask. He said, but these people are wearing those bandanas. Okay, he says, and there it's a machine shop, and he says, and they're constantly touching their mask and their bandana, whatever like that. They're readjusting a thing, and then they're grabbing oils and stuff like that, and they're putting it on the mask. He says, and then you see them licking the mask from the inside. Like, you know. And they think they're doing a good thing, you know. Yeah. A lot of people, when I go into stores, I don't wear a mask, you know. And people look at you, you know. And every once in a while, you run into somebody. Now it used to be a lot, but not so much anymore. But you see somebody walking there with no mask, and I saw a lot of people without masks like in today. And I went in stores down in Pennsylvania, Maryland, stuff like that. Most people didn't have masks on. That was kind of encouraging. But in Michigan, all these people have masks on. But you know, you see somebody in a store without a mask on, and I immediately go up to them and say, "Thank you." Thank you. Okay, you know, and those are the people. Those are the people. They got set up. If your home is about the size of grapefruits. Okay,
right.
And some of them are women. Okay, I mean, but they don't give a damn what people think. They think for themselves, and they go out there and they it's not going to wear a mask. You know, I mean, I'm not going to commit suicide either. Okay.
Right.
You know, but everybody else wants to wear a mask simply. Well, people want to wear a mask simply because they want to fit in. Okay.
That's it.
They don't want to stick out.
They see
someone without wearing a mask, and they say, "Well, hey, maybe I can do that." You know, I mean, I think most people are really envious of people that do that. Don't wear a mask. Just go stick it. You know, where the sun doesn't shine. I can do
right.
it.
Yeah, Ralph just posted a Gateway Pundit article that's saying that there's a call now for Trump to be immediately removed from office via impeachment under the 25th Amendment. Like I said, he's the sitting president. He's got military. He's bragged about the fact that he's got high-level military behind him. Now it's time to show us. If you really got people like General Flynn, General McEnany, good guys within the FBI, CIA, NSA, you know, now's the time. This is it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you only got about another 14 days to go here. But the thing about it is that, you know, he can do that. You know, but the one thing that he has done with this, you know, I mean, he hasn't shown the strength yet. That's for damn sure. And if he doesn't, then he's not the man I think he is. Okay, but he has let all these people show their true colors on the thing. Okay, from Pence and all these other people you think that are out on his side all the way down. Okay,
right.
He knows who his friends are. He knows who his enemies are now, and then they can start to wrestle. Arresting these people and trying them with the military tribunals, whatever it takes, okay. And I really believe that. Robert David Steele, I watched some of his stuff. He was talking about that last night. But the old guard, whatever like that, the honor guard, it's a capital. Evidently, they used to do executions stuff like that, and they're supposedly setting that stuff up again right now. But they can do executions on the lawn of the White House. And they would do it. They would set a platform up, and they would shoot down, and they could do it like six times. It'd be a formal execution, stuff like that. They would only have to do like two sets of six of those things, and you would see people when they realized there was a consequence to all these things that they had been doing. They would run and spill the beans and let everybody know what the hell's been going on and who's doing it and everything else. All hell would break loose. Okay, but you only have to do about two of those executions like that. Just start that ball rolling on the thing. And maybe, for all I know, that maybe they're doing that down in Guantanamo right now. I don't know. Boy, they got 200,000 of those sealed indictments. What the hell's going on? Let's open some of them things up. Let's prosecute some of those people.
Absolutely, that's what needs to happen. Because if you don't, you're going to have a full scale rebellion on your hands. Now, Ralph just sent in a link to the Gateway Pundit. And said that Ashley Babbitt, I guess that's how you pronounce her name. It looks like Ashley Babbitt, a 14-year veteran from San Diego, I guess the United States Air Force veteran, who served four tours with the Air Force as a high-level security officer, was killed today. So there's your battle cry. There's your... focal point is Ashley Babbitt, 14-year Air Force veteran, shot and murdered by Capitol Police. That son of a bitch needs to be put on trial and publicly executed.
So she was the lady that was killed. Now, she was a young lady. She was, what, 14 years in the service. She had to be in her 30s then.
Yeah, she was, yeah, right. I would say she's probably in her 30s at least, right? She looked fairly young, so I would say in her late 30s, early 40s. And that's according to the GatewayPundit.com. We were all saying prayers that something like this would not happen to any of the innocent people. And again, we don't have all the evidence yet. We just know that she was shot and she died. That's what the story we have so far. So again, it has to be a tribunal where both sides present evidence. But if it turns out that she had not done anything suspicious or whatever, and she had not committed any crimes that were requiring that much deadly force, then this cop committed murder, and he needs to be tried for that.
That was some things that, you know, they were arguing, hollering out there, you know, whose house is this? It's our house. You know, I mean, it's our house. We paid for it. That's, you know, they haven't got a right to keep us from being in our house.
Right.
You know, they don't, you know, and, you know, in Michigan, gosh, May or June or something like that, I know they had a big protest in Lansing, and a whole bunch of the militia went in there, and they all carried their weapons and arms and their rifles to lay it. And, you know, some of the senators, state senators, were complaining they felt intimidated. I said, hell, don't be intimidated by the guns. I would be intimidated by the people you pissed off and brought them in there, okay? One of these are going to use those things on you. You know, they're an inanimate object. It's an inanimate piece of steel and wood. But, I mean, you know, it takes a man or woman to aim the damn thing and pull the trigger. So, I mean, that's what you better be worried about. They're wrecking their livelihoods. They're stepping on us like so many flies, mice.
Well, again, they forget that we built those buildings. We pay for those buildings. We maintain those buildings. We own those buildings. And they're only there temporarily at our discretion.
Right.
Okay? These assholes think that they're gods and that they're entitled to stay in there as long as they want, commit treason, commit election fraud, and even sell out to communist nations our land, our resources, and our people, and do that with impunity. And I'm telling you, they need to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah. I was going to say, give a man a fair trial and hang him, okay? I mean,
well, that's it. I mean, everybody deserves a fair trial. That's biblical, okay? We're not saying vigilante action at this point. So while we still have some civility, but we got to have people who do not have an agenda and who are not compromised hold the trials, not these SOBs in the current court system in the government, because they're all compromised. Every one of them's compromised.
Right. You're right.
So I volunteer for that job. I would love to have that job, to sit as a commander over a force of sheriffs and militia to work with the grand juries and go after these people. That would be a labor of love right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Dan, you have to be trained to do that, okay? I mean, that's not something that nobody's trained to do that right now, and that's what I know. That's what the NLA is working on right now, the National Liberty Alliance, superior grand jury administrators, committeemen that would work and select the people that are going to run for office, make sure that they know what their office entails, what the Constitution that they have to swear to hold and defend, what all that entails. That's what the committeemen are for. That's what the grand juries are for. And that's what we're working on. I know Darleaf and that, we're trying to put together a grand jury. Lord knows there's plenty of things we got to investigate and people we have to indict, if that's the case might be, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you have to have, you can't, you know, if you're going to do that, you have to have, the first thing you do is get the prosecutor the hell out of there, okay? The prosecutor has nothing to do with that.
Right.
He doesn't belong in a grand jury room, okay?
You know, I agree.
Yeah.
So I think we need to scrap the whole system and start over.
Well, they did. They did that about 80 years ago, 1931, when they came up with the Supreme Court came up with the court rules, okay? But until that time, the grand jury and the grand jury and the common law was the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a decision by a court of record, which is grand jury or a common law court, is not appealable. It's not. That's it. You know, the common law court supersedes the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court, stuff like that, basically they're working with civil law, okay? They're working with statutes. And those statutes apply to persons, okay? But, hello, a person does not include a man or woman, okay? It's a corporate entity. It's an artificial person or anybody that will volunteer to be a person, okay? If you're a man or woman, you know, if I cut you and you bleed, or instead of cutting you and it's like a piece of paper slices up, those laws don't apply to you, and all those statutes that legislature stuff passed, they apply only to the artificial person. You know, they don't apply to the man and woman. They don't apply to John. They don't apply to Dan. But people will take it. They'll react to it. I mean, and that's our fault. We don't know.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to clean up. There's no doubt about that. Tonight was a good start, and we need to see it go forward. And we found out that Pence and Mitch McConnell and a lot of those pieces of garbage in Washington are traitors to the core. Now it remains to be seen, is Trump really a good guy with the support of the military? He's been telling us all along, and Q has been telling us all this plan has been going on. Well, okay, guys, you only got a small window left. You better make a move.
Yep. Yeah.
The people expect to see a move.
Yeah, you know, and that's good and it's bad. And the bad part about it is we expect somebody else to do our work for us. You know that.
Well, I think tonight demonstrated the fact that we're at that point where if you're not going to step forward to be the leaders of this cleanup, then we're going to do it on our own. And since we're not trained for it, it could get kind of ugly. So all right, you guys that supposedly know what's what and you want to do this as painlessly as possible, then the white hats, whoever Q is or is not, the white hats, Trump, and all this other garbage, and General Flynn certainly, if you guys are serious and for real, then it's time to step up and show true leadership and allow us to take a subordinate role as helpers, whether it's through the militia or through citizens' councils or what you call the National Liberty Alliance. There's all kinds of them out there. We've got Helen Brown, who's got all that research on public banking. We don't need these monstrosities called central banking, central government, and gigantic central religions. With all their money and all of their corruption, we don't need those albatrosses around our neck. So use the military or whoever's behind all this, then use it to bring those people down off the ledges of power and put them out in the street and let us have our way with them. And then we'll start all over again with a more libertarian point of view where government is at the local level, just as Moses taught when he was given the law. God's law says government is supposed to be at the local level, just like the libertarians say, not this big mm-hmm. bloated bureaucracy riding over all of us. That's not a biblical concept.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically the law is don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, okay?
Right.
And you know, treat everybody else like you want to be treated yourself, okay? I mean, but it also says don't commit adultery. That means don't be mixing different things, okay? And it, mostly that is referring to the blood, okay?
Right.
A lot of people, I remember when I was in about third grade or whatever like that, they were teaching us the Ten Commandments. I always remember that you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then it says, you know, thou shalt not commit the neighbor's wife. As well, the Lord didn't know enough to, he didn't say it twice. But,
right.
You know, but you think about that. But I mean, it's two different things.
Yes, it is.
It's two different things. One's mixing, and one is with the neighbor's wife or the goods or whatever like that. I'm just disgusted. I'm encouraged. We'll see what happens. I'm discouraged and encouraged at the same time, and I guess for good reasons.
You guess what?
Say I'm encouraged and discouraged at the same time for good reasons, both of them. So we'll see how this comes out. I'm ready for it to happen. That's for darn sure. Whatever it's going to be here.
Yeah, everybody's tired of this damn waiting game, death by a thousand cuts. And that quote you mentioned is the quote. Well, I know in West Point, the academy, military academy, West Point, the motto of the cadets used to be, "I will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor will I tolerate anybody else doing it."
Right,
I will
right.
not tolerate others doing it. And now many of our military and police today violate that motto all the time. So, again, we need to get our moral act together. We got to get our moral compass refocused and recalibrated and get back on a moral track as a people and stop this nonsense. And you're right, the scriptures, and this is why I study the original Greek manuscripts, because a lot of the English translations are terrible, to be quite honest. They're terrible. Because when you read that that admonition against adultery in the Greek language, it's as clear as a bell. It's mm-hmm. it's telling you do not adulterate or do not mongrelize and do not hybridize anything. Your animals, your
right,
plants,
right,
or
right,
your
right.
people.
Right, right, right.
So.
And if and when you do, there's going to be consequences. We're certainly suffering consequences right now.
We are living in the what the Bible calls the plague that comes from disobedience. So we have the plague of homosexuality. We have the plague of transsexual. We have the plague of the Jew risen to power when the Jews shouldn't have any power in this country. None. They're not of us. They're not racially of us, and they're not religiously or faith-based of us at all. Culture, completely opposite. And I'm so sick of people calling it Judeo-Christian beliefs. There's nothing Judeo about faith in Christ. Nothing. The Jews hate Christ. They hate the Bible. They hate us. They hate our history. They hate everything of God. They're devil worshipers. And yet people walk around thinking our faith is based on their Talmud and their belief system. It couldn't be anything further from the truth.
You're right.
So.
Oh my.
All right. Well, I've tied. I know you're probably pretty tired, so I don't want to keep you on here yakking away. But I do appreciate you calling in, taking that time out of your busy day, and sharing what you saw down there. I would also extend an invitation, John. If anything comes tomorrow or the next day or whatever, and you want to do a special broadcast with me, we'll set up a special time anytime for important information. Or if you just want to wait and come on Sunday morning and give us an update, we can do it that way too.
Let me see what I can do. I can say my brother took a whole bunch of videos, and if we can get those things, I can send those videos out to you too. That was on. I mean, that was right while it was happening. He was right in the middle of it too. So.
Sure.
That would be maybe you could post some of those things on the thing, but. And I'm sure everybody had their cameras out down there, right? Phones out there taking pictures for everything. So I'm sure
right.
there's a lot of stuff out there. But we were right in the middle of it, okay? I mean, we were right in the middle of it. So, the grenades were going off, and the smoke was coming around, and you could see it all. And he got up, evidently he got way up above, and shot a picture back across the wide park there, because in between the Washington Monument and the Capitol, so like that, show you get a pretty good idea how many people were out there. So it's probably something you might be interested to see. That obviously the media wouldn't put that out there for you to see. You know, so.
Right. All right, John.
Hey, before, thanks. Just going to say one thing before you let John go.
Sure, go ahead.
John, I think you mentioned a website or two earlier in the call, and I didn't get a chance to write it down. Did you mention a website or two?
Yeah, the National Liberty Alliance, NLA. Just type in NLA in your computer, and that will come up. It's been an organization for about, I don't know, 20 years now. But they've got an excellent website. They have a lot of classes, online classes you can take as far as informing yourself of what this government we have is, how it's supposed to work, how we're supposed to govern ourselves. We govern ourselves, we elect people, and we do it with our consent. Highly recommend the NLA. Just get on the website and look it up and study it and take a look at that. That's the biggest thing, I guess. And I know a couple other people, the 10th Amendment organization. I know Pastor mentioned another website of a lady. There's a bunch of them under, but the one that I'm really familiar with is NLA. So good information. I'd highly recommend looking at that.
Gotcha. Thanks for repeating that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Give our regards to your brother too. And, you know, both of you, we're praying that you remain safe there while you're there and you have a safe trip home.
We're working on getting home right now. We expect to be home about 5 o'clock this morning. So,
oh,
I got about 3 hours sleep last night. So, I know my brother wants me to talk to him when he's driving here too. So he stays awake and then we got two guys in the back sleeping and they'll take over. So,
okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dan.
All right, John. Take care, buddy.
Many blessings. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. You bet.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody has any comments or questions at this point, now's a good time to either let Adam know or myself, and we'll try to address anything you might have. I'm just kind of checking over the notes here real good. Let's see here. I don't see anything up here. Okay, very good. But anyway, I was also noticing that there's other people I personally know that are putting up material all night long. So I'm sure between now and tomorrow morning, we're going to get all kinds of feeds. But what's interesting to me is what's going to happen now. Because we knew today was not going to be the end of it. This is only the beginning. So the people that were there showed our contempt, but the contempt is not going to be assuaged by anything that happens in Washington, D.C. What has to happen now is if all these people that have been telling us since, 2017 or 2018, the QAnon people, the White Hats, Trump's playing 5D chess. We've heard it all. Okay, well enough. Okay, let's give them benefit of the doubt, just for the hell of it. All right, there's a group of good generals and admirals and military and some civilians that know the Republic is on the verge of dying. And Trump was asked to be part of that, and that this group is working to bring down this thing. Okay, well, that means now, not a month from now, or not 6 months from now, it means now. Because the communists are getting ready to implement their plan. So we don't have more than a week or two at most. So today needs to be the first day, and that's why I entitled it History in the Making. Because that's where we're at, folks. Your republic, the little U United States, the United Sovereign States of America that our founders put together 245 years ago or thereabouts. Okay, that republic will cease to exist if we don't do something between now and the 20th. And if these so-called good guys don't do something between tonight and the 20th, so you're talking 2 weeks. Within the next 2 weeks, we have to fundamentally change the way we think, who we are, what we're willing to do in that shorter period of time. So is this a serious moment? Yeah, it is. I hope everybody is treating it that way, because you don't have any more time left. You don't. Your clock has run out. All of the margaritas, all of the Jimmy Buffett, all of the porn and entertainment and sports and all the things that you've been wasting your lives away on silly entertainments, it's over. It's over. Those that want to be able to survive what's going to happen now have to get serious right now. Now, along that line, some of you may know this already, some of you don't, but I was contacted by an old friend. You would recognize his name if I gave it to you, because he's been on the show probably about 4 or 5 times. But he contacted me within the last 2 days. He wants to move forward with what we call the ARC project. In other words, building a piece of property up into a farm, ranch, ministry, living as close to the way the Amish live, and he wants to do it soon. He wants to find a location to do this, a county that is acceptable of people putting this kind of thing together, in a warmer climate, preferably. So we're thinking somewhere in Texas, somewhere in Florida. Could be somewhere else, but right now we're focusing for the moment on those two areas. So we want you to pray about it. If you're interested in it, we want you to contact, go through me for right now. I'm not going to get anybody else involved until we are a little more sure about who's who and what we're going to do about this. But the point of it is that shows me, and it should show you, how serious our people are now starting to take things, because they can see that this republic's coming to an end. Your freedoms, your liberties, the health of your family, the health of mental health and physical health, spiritual health as well. These people that want to take control are pure 100% communists, atheistic, Luciferian, man-hating, God-hating communists. The kind that butchered and murdered so many tens of millions of the Russians and Ukrainians, Chinese, Koreans, and Vietnamese, and Cambodians, and many others over the past 70, 80 years. So if you want those murdering sons of bitches to run the roost, shame on you. Just sit on your ass and don't do anything, and it's coming. If you don't want that to happen, then you better start thinking like a warrior, all of you men, and you ladies, you better start thinking like the women of old, and it's your job to support us men. That's your job, because that's how important you are. Because when you say the right things and show the right support for us men, we can take down empires, because we're the sons of Adam, who is the son of Yahweh. All right? We can take down empires, but we can't take down empires dragging a ball and chain behind us. And some of you women, that's exactly what you are to us men. You're like trying to drag a ball on a chain strapped onto our ankles. That's how important it is, what your attitude is, your behavior, the things you say and do on a day-to-day basis. That's how important it is. We can't win this war separately. We got to figure out how to do it as a team. And the only way I see to do it is to do it the way our Father intended it. We men, it falls on us to do the leadership of the community and of the family. It's also upon us to do the political analyzing and straightening out. It is also up to us to do the fighting, and if necessary, to do the dying. That's our job. But at the same time, we got to have the ladies supporting us while we do that. And you need to know how serious this time is in our history. So I know, ladies, sometimes you get awful protective of your man and protective of what you've got physically and materialistically. those days are pretty much over. You need to make your man into the warrior king of your home. Let's win this war, and then everybody can enjoy peace and prosperity and good times on the other side. But we got to fix a lot of things that have been broken for a long time, and our ancestors and some of us even here, we didn't get around to fixing it. And so now it's time to pay the piper, and we got to fix these problems. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, Dan. Glad to be let on the show here. And I have a question. Is Adam on there that could so I could
talk? I'm here, John.
Okay, thanks. Well, we talked here a little while ago about the land and stuff like that. Adam and I had about a 2-hour discussion here the other night about that. I just wanted to, have Adam kind of explain to you what I would propose to him as far as something I have and I'd be willing to work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead, Adam, and see, talk to him about what we had discussed and on my proposal. I got some land, I got some outbuildings, stuff like that, a house, but it's up north. I know it's not some southern climate, but just to give it some thought.
Okay.
What do you think, Adam?
Well, John, I appreciate you calling in to mention that. I didn't know if that's something you wanted to announce on the official, one of these recorded shows, but do you want to maybe have a more in-depth discussion about that, say, tomorrow evening on one of our nightly calls? If Dan...
Yeah, well, I didn't know if Dan was going to be available tomorrow, so...
Yeah, I'll be available tomorrow.
Because I don't get emails from people, and I send them out, and I just must have the worst email system ever. So, and I just wanted to present something out there. I'm not saying where I live or anything like that, but just to let people know that if they want to do something good of like mine, I just got to share something. I mean, people need to have someplace.
Right. Well, the other beautiful things about all this is that we don't have to put it all our eggs in one basket. We could be building a Amish type ranch farm ministry here, but we could also do it at the exact same time in up north or over in Tennessee or northern Georgia or over in Texas. Because some of our people like a colder climate. So, I'm just saying that this first initial setup with the people that I was contacted by who have the financial resources, if they got the gold, then they have the right to make more of the rules. And they want to build whatever they're going to build down here in a warmer climate. That doesn't mean we don't have another group of our brothers and sisters who are more Nordic and like colder climate. I like both climates. I can do well in either climate. So,
if the people want to go and have some extra place or whatever have you, because they're going to, Adam and I talked about this, that they'll need something all over the country when the shit hits the fan.
That's true. That's right. So be like the Underground Railroad, only for white people.
Mm-hmm.
John's area is obviously unique, so you're going to have different options and resources
right
up there than Florida. And I did check out the area. It's set up. I mean, it's kind of ready to go from my minimal knowledge about farming, but he is right next to an Amish community already. So,
oh,
it does
wow.
meet the bill in several ways.
Okay. Well, again, we won't go into detail tonight. We'll save that for the chat tomorrow night.
Great.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow night. The main thing I wanted our brothers and sisters to know that these are things that we're talking and actively working on right now, because we see the handwriting on the wall, and the gentleman that called me expressed that as well. He knows that we're at a very critical time, and it's no longer fun just to talk about it. It's time to actually make some preparations as fast as possible.
Yeah. And that's why I figured I'd, you know,
right.
lend whatever's necessary to help out, because we need all the help we can get.
Right. Yep, we got to come together as a family and work together and help each other out and also defend each other, because who else is going to do it? If nothing else, we should learn that we should not trust other institutions, other men, especially immoral ones who don't share our values and share our love of the Father. Thinking that they're going to look out for our best interests was foolish.
Right.
So
that's all I have to say. I appreciate being on the call, Dan.
Yeah, certainly, John. Take care and say hello to the missus for us.
Thanks, John.
I'm not sleeping, so.
Oh, okay. Oh.
The other thing is, I think John has two sons. So that's not only does that give us an opportunity to build our support, but as far as farming goes and all that, but also some young people. I think I'm one of the younger guys, and I'm not exactly in my 20s, so
right.
It'd be nice to have real young men to train up proper from their youth.
Well, when we get everything set up, we're going to have all that, because it's going to be like that movie Field of Dreams. If we build it, they will come. I've already talked to people who have contacted me. Some younger people with younger children, et cetera, and all, they're very excited about all this, and they're very much on board with the concept. Now, we just have to make it come to pass. But the concept of this community working together, coming together as a family, and getting away from Babylon, the whole thing of Babylon, everything about Babylon, it stinks. Everything is fake, artificial, superfluous, you name it, it's ugly. Everything about Babylon is ugly. And everything about Babylon should make a true believer sick to their stomach. Every true believer I talk to is sick to their stomach with this crap that this society is pushing down our throats. They're sick of it. They went away from it. And if our so-called civic leaders, who are nothing but a bunch of whores taking money from the highest bidder and selling us and themselves out, they're not going to do a damn thing for us. So we rely on each other. We rely on our Heavenly Father above. And I personally think, just like Noah and his family, if we'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and we'll put our Father to the test, that we're going to build something in His name, under His authority, and we're going to run it according to His law and no other law, that He'll bless it. And somehow we'll rise above this sick, demented world as He prepares the fire that's going to cleanse this world of these monsters that walk amongst us. I say hallelujah. So we're going to, figuratively anyway, we're going to be sitting on the bridge of our ark, whatever form it takes, and from that position we're going to look down upon the masses of wicked, evil, disgusting creatures as they shrivel up and blow away from the judgments that are coming, because they don't deserve to suck air, to be honest with you. So, judgment's coming. So it's just going to be up to us what we're going to do about it. Are we going to obey like Noah and his family, or are we going to stay in our wicked ways, or are we going to do 2 Chronicles 7:14 and turn from our wicked ways, and then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And as he heals our land, he'll also heal us. I'm going to tell you that for those of us who are overcomers and go along with this program, there are suppressed technologies that are going to bring back our health, because I know a lot of our people are suffering from a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you, I already know some of these things. I don't know them all, but I know some of them, and they're pretty amazing. Because we're going to get rid of stress. We're going to get back to eating real food, drinking clean water, humanely raising our animals. And we're going to not only eat better, we're going to laugh, we're going to have less stress, and we're going to feel good about ourselves and what we're doing, and the rest of the world can literally go to hell. That's going to be our attitude. Just stay the hell away from us. We don't want what you've got. You can have all the stuff the Jews have bought you off with, and just go to hell with them. We're not going with you. We're going to go a different way. So the easiest way for me to have people imagine it is just think about the Amish. I grew up in Amish country, got along with the Amish people very well, and they just basically said, leave us alone. We don't want all that stuff that you people think is so much fun to have, because there's too many strings attached, for one thing. We'll just stick to the way we want to do it, and we'll live amongst you, and we can even work with you and share, but we don't want your ways. And we're going to do the same thing. We don't want their ways. We want to go back to doing it Father's way, the way that works, the way that's productive and beneficial to mankind and earth, instead of this sick, demented way that everybody else is doing it. So, but anyway, anything else, Adam, before we close up for tonight?
No, not really. That was a good image to put in the minds of us all. I just see a blessing in the possibility that we can not only start our own thing in the South, but maybe in the North as well. Maybe there'll be several points in the center of this country that will just crop up and start anew as we're moving this thing along. So I'm very hopeful for all of that.
It's all up to us. The only thing that limits us is our imagination and our willingness to work together. That's it. Scripture, I can't think of the verse, but there's a scripture that says that when we come together with one accord, which means that we're all of one mindset, we're all in agreement on a direction, He will bless us, and we are invincible. The enemy cannot touch us. Just like the Amish. Everybody, I've had a lot of my friends, oh, you're going to be like Waco. You're going to be like Randy Weaver's family, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to think. And then I just kindly remind them that, hey, I grew up amongst the Amish. They've been here a long time, and nobody's gotten rid of them. So what do you mean? Just because we want to be different and live a clean life and follow God's law that somehow we're going to have a big target on us? No, that's all psyop. That's Satan's kids saying, no, don't leave me. I need you. I've got a matrix I've built, and I got to keep you plugged in. Take the blue pill. Come on, take the blue pill. Stay in the matrix. Don't leave it, because then we would have to work. We'd have to feed ourselves. And we don't want to do that. We'd rather live off of your blood and your sweat and your tears and you dying in the wars. I say let's walk away from Satan's kids and tell them to go to hell. They can die in their own goddamn wars and leave us alone. Enough of our sons and daughters dying for these Jews and their frickin' corporations. It's time to put an end to that bullshit. No more of that. No more dying in their hospitals. No more having our organs ripped out of us so they can make money selling our parts to somebody else. Enough of that shit. We're the prize. We're the sons of Adam. We were the peculiar people that he put upon this earth. We can develop things and we can restore order. That's why they hate us so much. They don't hate all these other people. They don't have a problem with them at all. because they're not the ones given the commission to set this world straight. That's the sons of Adam. That's us white guys. Whether people want to listen to that or not, I don't really care. That's the way it is. So when we get our act together, there's literally nothing that we can't accomplish. And it will be for the good of all mankind and Earth. Everything restored. Can you imagine what a beautiful world this could be if we get rid of all the scumbags and we start doing things that are natural and healthy instead of what makes money, which is typically ugly and dirty and polluting because they don't want to spend the money to do it right. That's what's in my mind. Imagining the world as our Father wanted it to be and wanted us to keep it, rather than turning our back on our duty and allowing these monsters to get away with the crap that they've been doing for a long time. It's time to have a revolution and a repentance and a coming to Jesus moment as a people and stop this nonsense that we're involved in. Anything else, Adam?
That'll do it. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks for helping out today, too.
Absolutely. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for tuning in. We want to thank John and Adam for their contribution here, and also John, who called in from his trip into Washington, D.C. Good men. Good men, good women. It's amazing what we can accomplish when we put our minds to it, when we decide to put away the foolishness and start focusing on the things that matter instead of the stuff that's just superficial and inconsequential. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like the human body. It's capable of amazing things to recover from the bad habits we have. And we as a people, it's amazing what we can do and recover from our bad habits as a society and the terrible, terrible things that we've allowed ourselves to be talked into. So let's all be of one mind here tonight. Let's all focus our prayers on the repentance of our people, to change the way we think and the vision. The Proverbs tell us that my people suffer from a lack of vision, not just a lack of truth, but a lack of vision. We've lost the vision. We need to get that vision back. Who we are, why we're here, who our Father is, who our brothers and sisters are, what is it that we are to accomplish with our lives on this earth. We've lost the vision. We've been entrapped into this make-believe world of Babylon with all the trinkets and the baubles and the bright lights and the fancy cars and all of the superficial crap that Satan dangles in front of us, and we turned away from our culture, our heritage, and our truths, chasing after their little silvery, shiny baubles. We need to repent of all of that. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity tonight. We know today, January 6th, is the making of history. One way or the other, we're either going to go to the right and build a better world, or we're going to watch as this world goes up in flames and we'll get taken down with it. The choice is ours. We have to make that decision. We just pray you'll help us with that, Father. Bring the Holy Spirit deeply within us. Wash us clean anew. Wash away our sins. Wash away our dirt and our dross and our evil and wicked ways, that we can be more spiritual, more clear in our thinking and in our abilities to act. Also, more clear in the way we treat each other. Let us remember the golden rule, treat others as you would like to be treated. It's pretty simple, but our people have a hard time with that. Teach us also, Father Yahweh, to be humble, to be meek. We don't even know what that means anymore. So as we return to be your sons and daughters and to focus on the job at hand, we just pray you'll open doors for us that we can go through. We'll pray that you'd lift us all up. Give us a good spirit. Give us that joy that used to be amongst our people, that when we know who we are and we know who you are, the joy that we're working for the better good instead of just sitting on our butts and letting this poor world go to hell. The joy when we see our families coming together and children raised up with proper educations and also around real men and real women. instead of these misfits in these public school systems and colleges? We have a long way to go, Father, but we can get there, and we can get there in a hurry. If you'll walk with us and we'll just work together, we have a lot of comfort in that. And again, as we always say, Father, we know we've made a lot of mistakes. We ask for forgiveness for that. And we ask that you'd wash again that dross out from amongst us and cleanse us anew with the Holy Spirit. And keep that vision and focus in our minds as we go forward. We also pray for all those in Washington and all the patriots in any other areas of the country that are standing up against this tyranny. We just pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We also ask, Father Yahweh, that you would protect us always from those who wish to do us harm. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.